International Bible Study Commentary, verse-by-verse commentary and Bible lessons through the Bible. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 22 by L.G. Parkhurst, Jr., recorded by Dave Carr. Hear now the word from the New Revised Standard Version, John 16, 12 through 22. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Then some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying to us, 'A little while you will no longer see me, and again a little while you will see me, and because I am going to the Father'?" They said, "What does he mean by this 'a little while'? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said, 'A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again, a little while, you will see me'? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you will have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. International Bible Study Commentary, John 16:12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus could have told his disciples all the details about his arrest, flogging, crucifixion, death, and burial prior to his resurrection from the dead. But Jesus knew that in their present state of anxiety, they could not bear to learn these facts. He could have explained the meaning and purpose of his atoning sacrifice for sinners, but Jesus decided that the Holy Spirit could remind them of what he had taught them, and that they would not understand at the time and reveal new truths and meanings after he ascended into heaven. Jesus' policy and that of the Holy Spirit seems to be revealed in this verse. Jesus would not tell his true disciples any more about themselves, others, or the future than they can bear. Jesus will not give any of his disciples any more than they can handle with the help of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The fact that Jesus is the truth and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth indicates when Jesus' earthly work in the flesh was finished that the Holy Spirit would come and carry on the work of God the Father and God the Son. The redeeming and sanctifying work of God through the Son and the Spirit within Jesus' disciples, then and forever. Jesus walked beside his disciples when he walked with them on earth. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would walk, and now walks, within his disciples. The Holy Spirit lives inside Jesus' disciples, and the Spirit teaches Jesus' disciples from within them. The Holy Spirit then, and today, lives closer to Jesus' disciples than Jesus could himself, because on earth Jesus could only live and work beside his disciples. the Holy Spirit would also teach Jesus' disciples more about the future. See especially the book of Revelation. Today, the Holy Spirit interprets and applies the meaning of the Bible for Jesus' disciples, the book written by Jesus' first generation disciples as the Holy Spirit led them. He still works within Jesus' disciples. The Holy Spirit will come into the true disciples of Jesus Christ as Peter taught in Acts 2:38. After some in the crowd believe that Jesus is both Lord and Christ, and that they have crucified him, directly or indirectly, with their approval. Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Today, the Holy Spirit will guide Jesus' disciples into all the truth when he explains and applies what the Bible teaches to those who study the Bible with the intention of obeying Jesus in everything he taught in the Bible. Today, the Holy Spirit teaches Jesus' disciples whatever the Father and the Son want taught to Jesus' disciples. These will be truths that further explain, illustrate, and apply the words of Jesus in the Bible. Today, the Holy Spirit will declare some things that will happen in the future to prepare Jesus' disciples for that future. The Holy Spirit will never teach anything contrary to what the Bible teaches, because the Holy Spirit will not contradict or deny what he inspired the writers to write in the Bible. The disciples of Jesus must discern the spirits, as John taught in John 4, 1-3. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now is already in the world." The Holy Spirit will never approve what God has commanded people not to do in the Bible. John 16:14. "He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Father glorified the Son, and the Son glorified the Father when they revealed the truth about each other to the disciples and all who would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ by receiving the truths Jesus revealed. As the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ by revealing and rightly applying the truth of the Bible inside in the mind and the heart of true believers in Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps Jesus' disciples understand the Bible's teachings and apply them to their lives so they can obey and serve Jesus courageously and faithfully as they love and live for Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit will keep teaching the truth as Jesus taught the truth, and the truths he teaches will be consistent with what Jesus taught when he walked on the earth. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the commands or the teachings of Jesus Christ in the Bible. John 16:15. "All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father, and the Father loves Jesus and has given him everything. Think deeply about these words of Jesus. Jesus said, "All that God has is mine." Everything that belongs to God the Father, which includes everything beyond whatever God has created, belongs to Jesus and the Father together. The Father has an almighty, divine, and holy nature, and so does Jesus Christ, his Son. For any mere man to make such claims would be outrageous and obviously false. The fact that God raised Jesus from the dead after he was crucified, dead, and buried indicates that Jesus told the truth about himself and his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit declares and imparts to Jesus' disciples everything they need to know about him as the way, the truth, and the life and the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit gives them the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. The fact that Jesus' first disciples received and did bear, and his disciples today still receive and bear, the Spirit's fruits and gifts also indicates that Jesus told the truth about himself and could do all he said he would do. See Ephesians 4:11-13 for a list of some of Jesus' gifts to the church. John 16:16. A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again a little while, you will see me. Following the principle that Jesus declared to his disciples in John 16:12, Jesus did not tell them in advance what he would later explain to them. For example, after his resurrection, Jesus met some of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, and after he left, they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" See Luke 24:13-35. After Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit explained Jesus' words and works even more to his disciples. As Jesus spoke to them in John 16, we know that in a little while Jesus would be arrested, crucified, and buried, and they would no longer see him. We also know that in a little while, what Jesus foretold them did happen. Jesus rose from the dead, and they saw him. Today, the disciples of Jesus do not see Jesus face to face, but they rejoice as the Holy Spirit indwells them. They will rejoice even more when they see Jesus face to face and begin to live forever with him and all who love him. John 16:17. And then some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying to us, 'A little while, and you will no longer see me,' and again, 'A little while, and you will see me,' and 'because I am going to the Father'?" Of course, the disciples would not have understood all Jesus said. Jesus only intended to tell them enough for them to remember that what he had promised did happen, and he spoke truthfully. They did not understand what Jesus would do or how Jesus would go to the Father. They did not know why Jesus would want to go to the Father. They would only learn many things after the Holy Spirit came to teach them from within them. John 16:18. They said, "What does he mean by this, 'a little while'? We do not know what he is talking about." By essentially repeating John 16:17, Jesus showed that he knew that these questions had led to considerable discussion among them, and that they may have speculated a great deal about what he meant, even as his disciples today would have done if they were there. Certainly today, many of Jesus' disciples often wish Jesus were visibly present with them, even though the Holy Spirit dwells within them and gives them joy. John 16:19. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he told to them, "Are you discussing amongst yourselves what I meant when I said, 'A little while, and you no longer will see me,' and again, 'A little while, you will see me'?" John indicated that Jesus did not ask his question because he lacked knowledge. Jesus knew what they were talking about, and he wanted them to know that he knew what they were talking about. Jesus exactly repeated what they were talking about, so they knew he was not speculating about what they might have been thinking and talking about based on what he had told them. John 16:20. "Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. Jesus told them what they needed to know without telling them more than they could bear. Very truly meant that this is certainly so. This is indeed the case, and this certainly will happen. Today, some might use the expression, mark my words. All Jesus foretold them did happen. As Jesus suffered crucifixion, his followers at the foot of the cross wept and mourned and felt the pain. When Jesus was buried, those who buried him and those who knew that he had really died wept and mourned and felt the pain. Those of this world, the religious leaders, for example, rejoiced that they had silenced Jesus and had scattered his band of followers. They rejoiced that they would never hear any more from Jesus or his disciples. But Jesus went to foretell that the disciples' pain would turn to joy. They would suffer when they could no longer see Jesus, but they would rejoice when they saw him again. Knowing the rest of the story, we know that the world did not silence Jesus or his followers. The religious leaders and others of this world did not rejoice for long when they thought they had killed Jesus. Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached in Acts 2:36-37? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what should we do? Then Peter told them in Acts 2:38, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And about 3,000 persons became disciples. John 16:21. When a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. Jesus then compared their sorrow and joy to the sorrow and joy of a woman giving birth to her baby. When Jesus died for them, they would experience pain and sorrow. But after Jesus rose from the dead, they would experience joy and new life. They would be born again or born anew. Their blessings would so outweigh their sorrow and pain that they would not remain sorrowful. They would become new people, new courageous, spirit-filled disciples teaching about Jesus in the world. Today, having repented of their sins, Jesus' disciples live and love as a new people, as courageous, spirit-filled disciples in the world who teach about the words and works of Jesus. John 16:22. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Once again, Jesus promised to them that their thinking about and later experiencing separation from him, especially in the ways they would be separated by his death and burial, would cause them pain. However, he also promised that he would see them again, and when they did see him, their hearts would rejoice, and no one could take their joy from them. If we ask ourselves how Jesus' disciples could suffer and face certain death as they did because they followed him, the answer lies in at least these three facts. First, the Holy Spirit dwelt within them. Second, they had the joy of Jesus within them. Third, nothing and no one could take their joy from them. After Jesus returned to his Father by ascending into heaven, we read about the disciples' joy in Luke 24:52-53. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Today, with great joy, Jesus' disciples trust Jesus and all Jesus' promises. The International Bible Lesson on John 16:13 is, how can we tell the true disciples of Jesus? When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. How can we tell the true disciples of Jesus from His many followers in the crowds? Jesus' disciples believed His signs and what He said. They wanted to learn everything He taught. They wanted to be with Him all the time, so they followed Him wherever He went. They loved Jesus and wanted the best for Him. They did what He told them. They took risks with Him and suffered for Him. Perhaps you can think of more characteristics, for Jesus' true disciples think and act like Jesus' first disciples. We know how Jesus treats His disciples by the way He treated His first disciples. Jesus did not give His disciples more than they can bear or cope with at one time. Before His arrest, Jesus did not tell His disciples all the details about His trial and suffering on the cross, for He knew they could not bear it. Jesus' disciples have the Spirit of truth with them and in them to guide them into all the truth they need to know. The Spirit teaches Jesus' disciples what He hears from the Father and the Son, and Jesus' disciples can pray to the Father and the Son. The Spirit declares that Jesus' disciples need to know about the future. When Jesus' disciples weep, mourn, and suffer pain, they know their pain will turn to joy. Because they know Jesus, their hearts rejoice in all circumstances, and no one can take the joy of Jesus from them. Copyright 2022 by L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. and Dave Carr. All rights reserved. Permission granted for not-for-profit use.